From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies of the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare. As the army of Israel stood ready to attack the city of Jericho, there had been several divinely appointed delays, part of the spiritual preparation for the battle. Now Joshua was given instructions that must have come as a shock to a seasoned soldier. Rather than launch a straightforward attack, Joshua was commanded by God to have the army march around the city in absolute silence once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day they were to march around it 7 times and then to shout. This was not man's way to wage war, but it was God's way. Since Joshua was a man of faith as well as a military leader, he knew that God's way would lead to victory. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, God's work must be done in God's way. This applies to worship. In His Word, God has laid down the requirements for acceptable worship. This runs quite contrary to many of the man-devised efforts at worship that are popular in many circles today. The Lord has said, "I will be sanctified in them that draw nigh to me." We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Most manifestly, the confidence which the psalmist here expressed was a divine confidence. He did not say, "I have grace enough to perfect that which concerneth me. My faith is so steady that it will not stagger. My love is so warm that it will never grow cold. My resolution is so firm that nothing can move it." No, his dependence was on the Lord alone. If we indulge in any confidence which is not grounded on the Rock of Ages, our confidence is worse than a dream. It will fall upon us and cover us with its ruins to our sorrow and confusion. All that nature spins, time will unravel, to the eternal confusion of all who are clothed therein. The psalmist was wise. He rested upon nothing short of the Lord's work. It is the Lord who has begun the good work within us. It is He who has carried it on. And if He does not finish it, it will never be complete. If there be one stitch in the celestial garment of our righteousness which we are to insert ourselves, then we are lost. But this is our confidence. The Lord who began will perfect. He has done it all, must do it all, and will do it all. Our confidence must not be in what we have done, nor in what we have resolved to do, but entirely in what the Lord will do. Unbelief insinuates, "You will never be able to stand. Look at the evil of your heart. You can never conquer sin. Remember the sinful pleasures and temptations of the world that beset you. You will be certainly allured by them and led astray." Ah, yes, we should indeed perish if left to our own strength. If we had alone to navigate our frail vessels over so rough a sea, we might well give up the voyage in despair. But thanks be to God, He will perfect that which concerneth us and bring us to the desired haven. We can never be too confident when we confide in Him alone, and never too much concern to have such a trust.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. These sensitive renditions are sure to bring blessing to your heart and mind each time you listen to them. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
The Lord gave him the way, and he expected Joshua to follow it. to the letter, even though he must have known that what he was saying to Joshua shocked him, surprised him, and shook him to the very core. Joshua was a man. Joshua was a man of battle. He was the leader of the armies of Israel. It was Joshua who was commander-in-chief of the armies when the Israelites did battle with the Amalekites. You remember Exodus chapter 17, Moses stood on the hill with the rod of God aloft. It was Joshua who led the armies into battle. He was a seasoned man of war. And to say to a soldier, lead your troops in a circuit around the city, march them day by day, doing something that militarily is of no value. You've got to recognize that. It was not a marching army that put fear in Jericho. Oh, there was fear there, but it wasn't because they were marching around. That marching did not shake the walls. There is no relation between cause and effect of the actual physical act of marching and the falling down of the walls. They didn't somehow undermine the foundation by the reverberations caused by their marching. No, no, Joshua recognized this. It was a shock to his whole system that this is the way that God was telling him to go. But Joshua was not only a man of battle. Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua was a man of God. And he had led the Israelites into battle when he knew from experience that however hard he fought, while Moses held up the rod, he prevailed. And when Moses' hands were heavy and he let down the rod, he did not prevail. Joshua realized that while he had to fight with every ounce of energy in his body, yet the victory did not depend upon his skill, his wisdom, his leadership, his men, his preponderance in armaments. It depended upon the Lord. He knew that. And therefore, though this surprised him, he was glad to give it 100% obedience. We need to learn from that. Because the Lord has led down the way he wants his work to be done. The Lord has led it down how he wants his work to be done. You remember when he gave to Moses the plan of the tabernacle in Mount Sinai. Exodus 25 verse 40. And this is something that's referred to again and again. The Lord said to Moses, look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Moses was not given the slightest room for what the world calls creativity. The entire tabernacle worship, down to the smallest tent peg, was ordained of God, was designed of God. And that design and that pattern was given to Moses. And God told him, Moses, give attention to this and make everything according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. The same thing was true when it came to the building of what is commonly called Solomon's temple. It could as easily be called David's temple. Solomon actually did the building, but David did all the work of preparation. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. The same is true in Ezekiel's temple. It's a very thorny passage of Scripture, Ezekiel 40 to 48. Very thorny passage of Scripture. I have my own theories as to what that tabernacle or that temple refers to. strange, one day in an airport, Mark Allison and I were going, where was it, to Vancouver. And now you all know that Mark Allison's eschatology is off the wall. He doesn't agree with me down the line, so insofar as he doesn't agree with me, he's wrong. That's obvious. I mean, couldn't be right if he didn't agree with me, could he? But anyway, coming to Ezekiel, I said to him on rereading that in Ezekiel 43, verses 11 and 12, it leads me to a particular view that I've never heard anybody else give. And he looked at me and he said I was reading the same thing. And lo and behold, from two entirely different perspectives, we came to the very same conclusion. I don't know who invented this. I don't think he ever read it anywhere. I certainly never read it anywhere. I've never heard anybody else come up with it. And yet here we have either two geniuses or the opposite coming to the very same conclusion. But whatever your view of that temple, one thing, every detail of its pattern was given by the Lord, was not left to the ingenuity or the inventiveness of man. And that truth holds good for every part of the church's worship, warfare, and service. We read this morning in Psalm 144 in verse 1, it is the Lord who teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. In Deuteronomy 12:32, the Lord says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Now that is true in the church's worship. Without getting too far afield, I remind you that there are two, in Protestantism, there are two basic views about what is allowable in worship. There is the view of Martin Luther, taken over by the Anglicans or the Episcopalians, that anything that is not expressly forbidden in Scripture is allowable as a ceremony, as a rite, as an addition or help to worship, so long as it's not in defiance of a plain statement of Scripture or in contradiction of a plain teaching of the gospel, it is allowable. Martin Luther held that very strongly, and that's why Lutheranism sought to reform the doctrine of the Church of Rome, but was willing to carry over many of the practices and the vestments of the Church of Rome into Protestant worship. However, the Reformed churches held to what was called the regulative principle, that the Word of God regulates, the Word of God sets down in order what is to be included in his worship. Now, as our Confession of Faith points out, not every detail of every single thing is given in the Word of God. You're not told in the Word of God what time your church service should be at. You're not told in the Word of God how often you should sing in church services, how often you should pray, how many verses of Scripture you should read, how long the sermon should be. I know that some of you think the Bible in Acts that it should be shorter than I believe. But those are details that are not given to us in Scripture. The Confession of Faith rightly points out that these are things that must be judged in the light of nature. What William Cunningham, a great Scottish theologian, said was the use of common sense in the light of the general rules and principles of the Word of God. For instance, you are not given in Scripture any command to have a Sunday school. For that reason, some Scottish Presbyterians very strongly opposed it. Dr. Kidd of Aberdeen strongly, I would say even venomously, opposed the introduction of Sunday schools because they're not commanded in the Word of God. There are even some people in Presbyterianism in America today, and they're trying to get back to Dr. Kidd's view. But it is a principal truth in the Word of God that God's people should teach their children. It is also a principal truth in the Word of God that the children have a very vital connection with the church, and the church has a teaching mission. It is no breach of that truth or that principle to bring those children together and teach them in the things of God. That's part of the church's teaching ministry. It's not commanded in so many words, have a Sabbath school. But nonetheless, it is eminently scriptural to have one. The Confession of Faith, I think, gets that right. But let's understand this. That the worship of the church is regulated by Scripture. The worship of the church must be according to what is laid down either in direct command or by necessary consequence of what is taught in the Word of God. Man's attempts to invent new ways of worship, new ways of serving God, are not mere innocent innovations. The Word of God condemns them. The Word of God says, for instance, in Colossians 2, verse 23, that such things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Some things men invent appear to be very beneficial. People have brought things into the worship of God in the church. They say, we have a new generation, we must have a new way. You have this taking place all across America. Churches have turned into theaters. They have drama. They're putting on situation plays taken from the everyday world to get across a moral message. They have rock operas, rock concerts. You've got to talk to the world in the medium of today. That's the thinking. That's the innovation. But when you come to Scripture and ask them, show me in God's Word the basis for that, they tell you, well, it works. Well, of course, that's open to question. Very, very seriously open to question. I would strongly deny, ultimately, that, quote, it works. Paul says there are things which have a show of wisdom in will worship. But as Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 7, howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. It's true in worship.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.